Welcome to the Passion to Profit podcast. I'm your host, Nikki Milne. Join me, an ex-hairdresser turned PR and marketing expert and mum of four, as we dive into the world of women in business. I'm here to help you create a strong business so you can earn more, work less, and enjoy a fulfilling personal life while excelling in your career. Let's get started. Hi, everyone, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Passion to Profit podcast. Now, recently in my stories, I did a bit of a question box and asked you what you were struggling the most with right now in your business and probably a bit of your home life too. And the clear winner and answer was overwhelm. Daily, we are overwhelmed. And you know what? It's not a surprise, really. If we look around, we are overwhelmed by all the information we're consuming daily via social media, news, general media. Our lives are busier. Quite often in most households now, I know in my household as well, there are two parents working. There are children that have commitments. And even if you don't have children, we now go to the gym a lot more. We are a lot more social and active than past generations, I should say. So it's no wonder we are completely overwhelmed. The options for everything are so overcomplicated. And there are so many ways to do things compared to how we used to do things. For example, back in the olden days and the golden days, as they sometimes say, you know, to get food, you had to drive to the shops and get your food. And you might go once a week. Today's world, we can order online, we can get it home delivered by Uber Eats, we'll go to the shops two or three times instead of one basic food meal. There are as many recipes, we've got variations of recipes coming through from TV shows on how to plate up, how to cook, chefs doing experts. So you can see everything is just so much more complicated and we're getting way too much information overload. So overwhelm is real. And it is there for everyone. But hopefully today I can provide you with some strategies to reduce overwhelm, at least in your business. Now, I am a busy mum of four and I tend not to get overwhelmed. And I have great structures that help me because by God, I could easily get overwhelmed. Four children to sort out and organize daily. Husband who works shift work, which adds a whole complication to our life as in, you know, his shifts change every week and I've got to be on top of that. And then, of course, I have a business and a personal brand. That sounds overwhelming in itself, doesn't it? But I'm pretty much level-headed. And even one of my staff said to me the other day after working with me for a long time, do you ever break? Do you ever just have a breakdown? And to be honest, yes, I've absolutely got close to those points. But over the years, and I've been doing this 18 years now of having a business and being self-employed, I haven't really had any mega breakdowns because I've got very good at reducing overwhelm and also dictating what is important and what's not really that important and what's not going to remove the radar and what I can just let go of and not do. And if you know me, I'm pretty strong on things that I'm not going to do, whether that be taking phone calls, meeting people for coffee dates and things like that. I don't need to be doing that. And to be honest, neither do you unless there's a desired outcome that you want. So we're going to go through these tips and strategies today and hopefully you'll take one or two away and implement it. Hey, if you want to do the whole 10, awesome. I want to make your life easier and I want to help reduce overwhelm. And this is how I do it. So number one, in ways to stop overwhelm and find clarity would be set clear goals. And some days those goals for me are just surviving. If I get through my day and I've been up all night with a baby or my four-year-old or whatever, just surviving the day and getting through without losing my shit at anyone is a good thing. That's surviving. And some days that is as simple as my goal is. But I also make monthly goals for my agency. And that could be looking like I want to have a $50,000 month. I want to have a $70,000 month. It absolutely changes monthly. And I do that because some months, like right now, we're coming up to Easter. I'm actually going to have to be, or I get to be, I should say, home more with my children over that 2-week school holiday period. So my income is not going to be as prosperous as it is when they're back in school term and I have structure around their schooling. So I am really, well, I should say, I give myself grace with how much I earn and what my income is. And I will set a goal realistic to where my life is for that next 4 weeks ahead. I also like to have a yearly vision board that are things which I call stretch goals. So if I'm having an amazing year, stretch-wise, I can get to them. And a funny story, last year I created a vision board in January. I stuck it on my wall or my office at home. All the kids' artwork got piled on top of it. So to be honest, didn't really look at it a lot throughout the 12 months. And the other day I was cleaning and I pulled it down. I was like, oh my God, I have achieved everything on this vision board. And things on this vision board were things like a girls' weekend. There was actually a Valentino handbag, which I actually ended up buying halfway through the year and not really realizing it had been on that vision board. It was buying a reformer Pilates, which I purchased. I wanted to add 50 grand consistently every single month. And I absolutely blitzed that goal. There was just things like that. I take the family on a holiday. We went on 7 family holidays last year. And I took a lot of time off last year, which I don't talk a lot about, but I did. So goals can be very flexible and fluid. And I call them stretch goals, those annual goals, because if I don't get there, the world's not going to crumble down. So again, I give myself grace with my goal setting. And I don't even really like to call them goals, if I'm honest. They're there because I like to have something to work towards, but hell, the world's not going to fall over if I don't achieve them. But monthly, I set a goal, as in an income goal, and then sometimes I'll do 3 monthly goals. So whatever works best for you, but give yourself grace. If you don't get there, it is completely fine. But it absolutely helps reduce my overwhelm because I have direction. And for me, control and direction is one of my big things. I love control and I love direction. So that actually puts me in a much better state of mind as well. Number 2, I plan. I'm an avid list taker. If you've ever been around me, I have a bloody list for everything. It's how I keep, again, control. So on a Sunday night, once the kids are in bed and I might be typing away on my computer, watching Netflix or Married at First Sight, God believe I just said that, but I do, I will actually write my plan for the week out just in my notes on my phone and actually go, these are all the tasks I have to get through this week. And that could be simple things like paying my house insurance. That could be, you know, organizing kids' swimming lessons. It could be reaching out to 3 clients just to touch base with them. It could be promoting my mentoring or something, any task that I must get done that week to complete my week. So I will do a Sunday night plan because I find I've got a lot of clarity after Sunday night. Well, sometimes I've just had 2 days at home with my children. You know, I'm in a good place. I'd like to get organized. So Sunday night's my game changer. It changed everything for me when I started on Sunday night, just mapping out a bit of a rough guide to what I need to get done in the week. I also have a paper diary. I still write everything manually in a paper diary. And what I do is make sure there's a column on the side and I actually write down all my clients on that paper diary on the right-hand side. And I write down the income that they're going to bring me in this month, and then I'll tally it at the bottom. And I might go, wow, it's $46,000 or it's $55,000 through those clients this month. I want to get to $60,000 this month. So where am I going to create another $10,000 of income coming into my business? And obviously I have digital products and mentoring and all that. So for me, it's not that hard to do. And I would love to get you to a place where you could actually do that, where you have things in your business you can switch on and switch off depending on whether you need to top up your income. But that's another episode. But I think planning is a bit of a game changer with clarity, and it absolutely helps reduce overwhelm because what you can do is actually write your list of what you need to get done for the week and then go back and revisit that list and go, really, do I have to do that? Look, that insurance needs to be paid, but it's not due to the following week. So maybe I can shift that to the following week. Okay, yes, this has to be done immediately. I do need to touch base with that client because X, Y, and Z will be affected. Okay, maybe I don't have to do this. This can actually wait, or I can give it to my husband or one of my staff to do. So that becomes off my task list. So it absolutely helps reduce overwhelm. But just writing that list on a Sunday night provides me so much clarity. And then on my desk in my office, I also have a planner that I've designed and bulk printed. And I think I gave these away at some event I did, maybe one of my annual masterclasses. But it has a weekly planner and it's got a little TPC logo emblem in the left-hand corner if you do happen to have a copy of this. And it's basically a notepad I use and all my staff use. And we have a priority list at the top. Then it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And it's 5 dot points. And it's deliberately 5 dot points because I only think there should be 5 key important tasks you need to do a wet day. If you're writing 20, you got way too much stuff. And we'll go through strategies in a minute to get rid of those many tasks, but 5 key tasks you need to do each day. So I have a Sunday night planner for my week, which is an overall week. And then each day I write those tasks down. Now, before I leave each day, my office, I write down the 5 tasks for the next day ahead. So that is what I do with planning. Number 3 is time management. Okay, let's talk about your time. So many of us waste so much unneeded time. I have a purpose for everything I'm doing. If it is not going to move the needle in my business, I'm not going to do it. There has to be a clear outcome. I do not spin tires. Again, this comes back to discipline, and discipline is a learned art. I was certainly not disciplined very well in my first business, and I had a lot more freedom because I didn't have children then. But in this business, I have to be disciplined with my time because I do not have a lot of it to just throw out. So time management is an amazing thing. So like, go back to that list and prioritize what needs to be actioned immediately today. Do the hardest task first. That is a game-changing thing as well. Do the hardest task first, because if you're like me, when it's hard, I can procrastinate on it, put it aside, look at everything else I need to be doing and go on with that before I do that hard task. And usually that is around confrontation and conflict, where I have to go to a client and ask for money, or I have to go to a client and pull them up on something that I feel like is not aligned with their brand. So by me getting into work at 9 o'clock and doing that hard task first, I then can free up the rest of my day and have a clear mindset to move ahead. So time management, I also do time blocking, which is really important. So like, Mondays is a day for me to work in my personal brand. Tuesdays is a day with mentoring clients. Wednesday is a day to connect with all my PR clients. And then Thursdays and Fridays, we do photo shoots in the agency and creative tasks. So you can see there, I have a very set time blocking schedule. It can be flexible, but generally that's how my week runs. And when I come into work on a Monday, I know that's the day I work on my personal brand. Tuesday, I know I'm going to be mentoring all day. It's quite draining. I love it, but it is exhausting. So then Wednesday is a little bit of a catch-up day, and then checking in with all our PR clients. So that really helped as well, by doing time blocking. If you want to know more about time blocking, and if you've ever enrolled in my Growth Accelerator course, there is a whole lesson on time blocking, including my timesheets and how I do it and what I color code out and how my system works. And it really has helped so many people. Number four is delegating tasks. Now, you do not need to do everything in your business. You are not an expert at everything, and nor does everyone expect you to. And this was really hard for me to let go of, because I'm such a control freak. But to bring team members in and start expanding my business to bring in people that would support me, and I'm talking in my agency. In my salon, I had 10 staff. It was big. Yeah, that was a whole different kettle of fish. But in my agency, because I built it from the ground up, because I had no prior experience in it, I felt that I had to maintain control, and I was so wrong. Yes, control's great, but I can bring other amazing people into my business. I can show them how I do things. I can get them to mirror that, and I can mentor them. And they become amazing people to lean on. You know, they become family if they're great. So I want you to think about delegating tasks. Now, if you're not apt to the point of having your own premises and having potentially staff members or contractors work with you, you can actually use offshore VAs. And this is an amazing step. So you might choose to delegate some graphic design tasks, some Canva design, even copywriting. A lot of people hate writing copy for their websites and social media. You could find a copywriter. Now, I use a program called Upwork. It is a treasure trove of offshore VAs and specialists. I'd get them to do website updates for me, all sorts of things in my personal brand. So that has been a game changer, and that's allowed me to create my personal brand, because I actually outsource a huge amount of tasks in my personal brand. Obviously, in the agency, we still do everything in-house, but my personal brand, I'm still very much growing. I'm bootstrapping it. And so I have to use offshore VAs at the moment because I haven't got the budget in my personal brand, because I run that as a separate business with a separate bank account, to actually have a staff member or a personal assistant yet, hopefully one day. But I use offshore VAs. And if you'd love to know more about working with offshore VAs and exactly how to do it so you don't get ripped off and you're finding the perfect VA fits for you, I have a short course called Offshore VA Outsourcing System, which takes you through my step-by-step guide. It's got all the templates, your non-disclosure agreements that I recommend you have, and so much more information about using offshore VAs. And the brilliant thing is, I have 7 offshore VAs all doing different things, including a podcast producer, and they charge me between $10 and $20 an hour. Majority of my VAs are on $10 US now, which is about $14, $15 Australian. And they're phenomenal and have been with me for years. And they just take so much off my plate. So definitely learn to delegate, learn to let go. Trust me, it's scary at first, but it gets so much simpler. And you actually find a system with these amazing people. And you start thinking, God, do I really need to be doing this? Or can someone else do it for me? And really, your time is worth so much more than $10 or $15 an hour. So that is delegating tasks. The next one we're going to talk about is number 5, automating processes. So I want you to consider investing in technology or software to help automate repetitive tasks. You know, email marketing, customer relationship management, even scheduling your social media content. If you're blessed and you can do that, amazing. Like I said in my last episode, I can't currently do that, which is obviously quite a big pain point for me. It kills me in my personal brand that I can't schedule content, but I have a lot of other wonderful things in my life apart from that scheduling and content. So if you can actually automate a process to the point we have a system in our agency when an inquiry comes in, I actually have a dedicated process. The inquiry comes in, I respond with this email. Then they come back to me, they book a discovery call, that gets another email. And then after the discovery call, they get a customized quote, which is another process. We use a program called Monday. If you head to my website, go to the shop page and go down to tools, there is an offer and a link through to Monday. The program I use is a customer management system. It is a bit like Asana. I think Honeybooks is another version of it. Desabio is another version of it. But I like Monday because it's visually beautiful. And for me, things have to be beautiful. That's how I work. Visually, I'm a visual person. So in Monday, we actually have all these email templates. And I actually started about 2 years ago using it. And I have just over 2 years added every frequently asked question, every process. So now when we bring a new team member on board, whether it is an offshore VA or an in-house staff member, they get into Monday and I'm like, this is how we use our social media. This is how we do our social media management. This is the structure. This is the hashtags. This is how long it should take you to create a reel. Everything is in Monday. It is insane. And it is just a treasure vault of information about the systems and processes in my business. So I'm going to really encourage you to look for a piece of software like that. And of course, you can just start yourself by using, you know, WordPress docs and things like that. But when you have an online management program like Monday, it is amazing and so stress relieving to the point like I'm on holidays and the girls ring me and go, we've got to put together an EDM. It's a bit advanced. I will go into Monday, look it up. There is a video recording of me walking through that exact process. And I've actually video recorded that process, access it, watch it. And then if you've got any questions, come and let me know. So I'm on holiday. I can carry on with my holiday. They go in, they do the training. It's 5-6 minutes. And then they can go on with the task. It is a game changer. And it's good to remind yourself sometimes how you do processes as well. So automate processes that you can. Number 6, limit multitasking. So focus on one task at a time. Multitasking can often lead to, you know, an increase in stress. So like I say, time blocking for me is a game changer as well, because I know that day I'm working at my personal brand or I'm working with mentoring, I don't get distracted. So I am there with one focus that day only. So multitasking is very confusing. So again, go back to the one before where we talked about time blocking, learn to block your time. And by concentrating on a single task, you're going to obviously improve the quality of your work and find so much clarity around that process and the actions you're going to implement. Number 7, take regular breaks. That means get up and go outside for a walk or just give yourself a break from looking at a screen or doing what you're doing repeatedly. It is not a good thing. It gets overwhelming. It gets sometimes depressing. So get yourself out, take a break, clear your mind, be productive. And, you know, it doesn't have to be exercise. It could be just reading an information book or listening to something like a podcast. Hey, streamlining communication. This is the next one. We need communication channels. Now, I am a queen of email. If you've ever tried to ring me, you probably can't. There's about 10 people in business, maybe less actually, that have my phone number. Half of my PR clients don't have my phone number. I hate talking on the phone. I hate it. It is such a freaking waste of time. People waffle on phones. They sit there having a chat like they're at a coffee with you. I don't freaking have time for that. So you can't call me. In an email, people get straight to the point. There's quite often no fluff. I get to respond in my own time, whether that is 10 p.m. at night or 7 a.m. in the morning. I can schedule emails. All my emails are scheduled. So I might bash them all out Sunday night, but I will set them to send at 9 a.m. on Monday morning because I don't want people thinking I'm crazy writing emails at 11 p.m. at night. But worse still, I don't want a client to respond to me at 11 p.m. at night and then go to sleep thinking, oh my God, I've got to get back to that client. So I schedule my emails at random times of the night, to be honest. Sometimes it's 3 a.m., but they will never ever send until 8 a.m. or 9 p.m. And that is why. So I think that's a big one. Streamline your communications. For me, people can communicate with me via Instagram message and they can send me an email. Other than that, they can't communicate with me. And that is so vital to my mental well-being. If I put my phone down, there is no way anyone can reach me in business. No one knows my address. hopefully. And by communicating via two channels, it really streamlines my operations and it totally reduces overwhelm. So if you're someone that has LinkedIn open, Facebook messaging opening, you got emails, you've got your phone number out there publicly, maybe you have a shopfront people can walk into, cut two or three of those communication lines. People will still find a way to communicate with you. Don't be afraid to set strong boundaries. You do not need to be available 24/7. Quick story, I started this agency, we offered 24/7 management on social media. Friggin' insane, but I was desperate to get clients to give me an opportunity to manage their social media. So we offered around-the-clock social media management. And I did reply to people at 11 p.m. at night that were sitting in restaurants that forgot their handbag or questioned the bill because some of our clients are hospitality clients. But I don't need to do that anymore. And I think that was an expectation I set for myself, not really the clients. So now we don't do that. We operate 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, working hours. And yes, I am guilty of jumping on the social media for especially the hospitality clients and answering a few DMs on a Friday night or Saturday night or on the weekends. But I very much get on there once a day and our contracts say daily, Monday to Friday. So don't feel you need to be contactable or you're going to miss out on a sale because someone can't reach you over the weekend or someone can't call you. I'm a prime example of someone that's in an industry where everyone picks up the phone and I don't use the phone and you cannot call me. So set your own boundaries. Be strong. It's your business. You got into business for a reason. And if you don't like doing something, like I hate talking on phone calls, don't do it. So the number 9-1 is leading into setting boundaries. Have strong boundaries. If you don't like doing something, don't bloody do it. We don't like reporting, or I don't like reporting. I think it's an absolute friggin' waste of time in an agency. If you can't tell whether we're doing a good job or not, clearly we're not doing a good job. So we don't do reporting. If you would like us to give you a monthly report, we're going to charge you a friggin' fortune for it. And we do. We have one client that is a global brand and they need reporting to report to the head of the company overseas. They have to have reporting, so we charge accordingly. It's boring as hell. I really don't like it, but that is a company required by them. For our small businesses, I'm like, I can spend 3 hours writing you a friggin' report telling you how good we did this month, or I can spend 3 hours trying to attract more clients. Which one would you rather? And pretty quickly, they say, I'd rather you spend 3 hours attracting more clients into my business and more sales. I'm like, great, no reports. If you want to know how we're doing, jump on your website, look at the traffic, jump into your Instagram and look at the stats. You can actually access everything you need to know rather than me write a formal report for you. So setting boundaries is a big one. If you're finding you're going out to coffee meetings with potential clients all the time, if you don't enjoy that, say no. Say, I have 15 minutes to catch up on Zoom. Let's jump on. It'll streamline your systems and create so much more freedom and time for you. Boundaries are set by us as the business owner. And I know it can be really hard and terrifying to do that at the start, but if you let people pay you late, if you start a job without actually taking payment, and then they get a little bit delayed in that payment, if you keep going to their office and giving them consults without being paid for it, that's on you. That's a you problem, not a them problem. That's because you, as the business owner, have not set boundaries. So get tough. You want to reduce overwhelm? You've got to set your own boundaries and they will come over time. I have so many frigging boundaries now after 17 years. I'm like, I'm not doing that. And if a client doesn't like it, they're probably not the right fit for you. Whereas I attract clients that go, you know what? I respect you. Don't use your phone. I'm just going to send you a quick email. They send me a quick email. I'll go back quicker than the phone. So you will eventually attract the clients that actually love you for your boundaries. And number 10 to wrap it all up is continuous learning. So by stopping overwhelm, you actually need to actually put effort into learning how to stop overwhelm. And by listening to this podcast, you're doing a great start. So you're being informed of the industry's best practices and trends. And I constantly consume media. I'm in media. So for me, when I'm learning, that is reducing the overwhelm because I'm educating myself on new ways of doing things that perhaps streamline my processes like we've done today. And as a bonus here, I want you just to take a step back. Clear your mind. Get off that goddamn phone. Go and do something outside of the digital world. And that will no doubt reduce overwhelm because when we have space, we have amazing clarity come to us. And I feel like sometimes we just spin the wheels by getting back on to social media, trying to solve our problems or getting too deep with clients or being too desperate with clients. Whereas if we actually stop and take a step back, we will actually find clarity. So sometimes just go for a walk without a podcast in your ears, or go for a walk down the beach, or take the kids somewhere to a playground, or go and just have a beautiful lunch with friends where you don't look at your phone. Put your phone in your friggin' bag, because we find clarity from being in the moment. So I hope these tips have absolutely, in some way or another, at least one or two resonated with you. Maybe all of them did, but they should help greatly reduce overwhelm. So I want you to go back. You can pause, record. You can actually write some of these tips down and work on reducing overwhelm. This is not going to happen overnight, but by implementing some of these tactics, you will start to see more freedom come, which means the weight off your shoulders, which means you can breathe and sleep easier, and overwhelm becomes something that you manage like I do daily. So once again, thank you for listening to my podcast, Passion to Profit. If this has resonated with you, if you had an amazing tip here, I want you to send me a DM and tell me what resonated with you the most from this episode, which is the one tactic or two maybe that you're going to take away and implement straight away in your business. This is an actionable podcast and I want to see your action. And by maybe sending me a message, you'll commit to it even further. So I hope to see that DM in my inbox on Nikki Milne from you soon.